Blog Talk Radio.
For Saturday, June 8th, 2019, you are listening to The Deep Dive with Rich Fant. I am, of course, Rich Fant, part of the PW Torch Daily Cast lineup. 7 days, individual shows with our own spin, our own set of ways of doing things. This week, of course, I'm going to be talking with my buddy Jeff, a.k.a. Jeff versus the World. And we're going to be talking whatever he wants to talk about. So if you want to talk to us, we're going to want to talk to you. So give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Prior to Jeff connecting and starting the party with me, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a little mini preview of New Japan's card, which will be coming in hot tonight / this morning, or tomorrow morning, rather. And I think that's going to be a really fun card to watch. We might not dive too heavy into New Japan Pro Wrestling proper. This is kind of like mystery date tonight. With my internet issues, I apologize. I had a little situation here before we started the show where everything went in the house. Last few weeks, I've had some issues when it came to recording, and so this is kind of like the behind-the-scenes stuff, and finally Comcast sent someone out, and thanks to the fine folks there for getting this figured out, so that way my wonderful phone system doesn't poop out on me. And so with further ado, I'm going to bring my main man, Jeff, on. Jeff, welcome back to the Deep Dive, and how are you this Saturday? Hopefully you haven't had all of your electronics crap out on you in one morning.
Not yet, but I'm doing fine, and you know, I'm doing okay.
Awesome. Yeah, before you came on, I was giving a shout-out to the dude from Comcast. Apparently he's from Cincinnati and was part of, I guess, Charter, because all these different cable companies are intertwined with each other. And long story short, he was here because the tornadoes in Ohio led to everyone else getting pulled there. So when people in Pittsburgh needed stuff, he got pulled here. And if not for him, I wouldn't be able to do the show. So I'm eternally grateful to my dude from coming in here and handling business. But enough of my whinging and complaining. What did you want to talk about on this fine Saturday? What is on your mind? And before you start with that, tell folks about your podcast. Shahid gave me a preview about some of the fun things you guys are doing. And just give them some information about how awesome you are.
Okay, well, at Jeff versus the World, I will be talking about things that I enjoy as far as movies, TV, wrestling, just anything pop culture pretty much. Me and Shahid, we are going down the road that is the Fast and Furious, going through each movie. We started with the first one last Tuesday. This Tuesday we'll be doing the second one. And the first one really lets you know that Dominic Toretto is a supervillain, and everything happens because of him. It's really interesting to see, because he openly says in the movie he doesn't care about anybody. But you can listen to that. That was my latest episode. I have gotten the question why I don't do a lot of wrestling, and I think that's because I'm learning to be more objective when I talk about wrestling. I'm seeing that when you have it's good to have a strong opinion about certain things, just like, you know, this past, I guess yesterday they had the thing over the Super Show, which I have never watched any of the Super Shows, so, you know, that's just my personal stance on that. I just don't support that. But interacting with people about wrestling and stuff like that, it's something I'm learning to maneuver through, and Cam really talked to me about that, too, and you know, I'm learning as I go. But anyway, that's pretty much it. Jeff versus the World, you know, movies, TVs, wrestling, anything I can come up with. This Sunday, I will be having something new where I'll be interviewing. It'll be called The More You Know, where I will be interviewing different, like, independent artists, poets, up-and-coming actors, just people that I think, you know, people should know about or want to come up. And, you know, you may not know about them, but, you know, you may hear from them first from me. So that'll be the first episode tomorrow evening at 6 p.m.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And, You hit the Twitter, you hit the podcast, all the fun stuff you and Shahid were doing. What did you want to talk about today in the world of wrestling?
I know you had brought the question to me about different areas where maybe StarCast could be done. And as soon as you said it, I thought about New York. Now, this is the bad thing about New York. Let's say they said, let's do it in Brooklyn. If you did it in Brooklyn, then what I'm guessing would happen is somebody would want to run a show in Queens. Somebody would want to run a show in Manhattan. And then, you know, in all the different boroughs, and then it's like, well, people want to go here, there. And I just know the commute, how the commute was for WrestleMania weekend. But I also think, too, it would make a lot of money in New York. I think, you know, this is a hot place for wrestling where I think it can succeed, you know, in New York, because you don't want to wear out your welcome in Chicago.
Yeah.
And seeing actually, you know, you don't want to see the people drop. Like, you know, you're doing it again this summer, then the next time let's kind of switch it up. But, you know, that's the first thing I thought about was New York for that.
Now, for StarCast, I think you're right. I think if you have them all over the place, especially in a place like New York, it's better kind of how they did the WrestleCon, where you're posted up in one place. You're posted up in, like, a hotel in Manhattan or something like that. But I like your suggestion,
yeah,
New York, because there's opportunities, too, for you to kind of set up. Like, when I look at the last two StarCast, the way they had them, they were in a big hotel, typically the hotel associated or very close to the event. And you can kind of get people in and out logistically. When you were in Chicago, it was a lot easier to kind of bounce around because it was in a suburb, not necessarily Chicago proper. I look at New York, and that would be a monster, similar to Vegas, where you're going to have a lot of noise, a lot of options, and you got to be focused or you're going to really mess up where things are going. I think I was thinking how Access was in Pier 13, I think, in Brooklyn, and how that was kind of off to itself, but then you wouldn't want to have wrestling there. What would you think of having it in, like, the Bronx?
I'm not sure. I'm not really sure. I would, for wrestling, I think I would stay more, I know, you know, Brooklyn has a lot of wrestling shows. And Queens, those are shows, you know, those, I know Evolve runs out of Queens a lot. So somewhere out there, I think Bronx, I'm just not sure. I'm not even sure where. But, you know, somebody, you know, other than me may know somewhere where they can actually do the shows in the Bronx. And Manhattan would be, if you did it right in Manhattan, it would be busy, but I think it could work too. One of those big hotels somewhere in, you know, Manhattan.
And I'm thinking with this, I don't want it to be something, because the reason I brought that up when I wanted to have you on was I know you can kind of look at things from like a 500-foot view. You can kind of give that overview. And the one thing I thought about going to Vegas for StarCast was, as big as Vegas was, StarCast was just a blip. And people still traveled well. If you go to a place like New York, it would be the same principle. You'd kind of have that, okay, this is kind of there, but there's other things going on. And then the other part of the conversation was when I was at the, like, the vendor section. They brought Kenta Kobashi over, and he talked about how he'd like to have something like that in Japan. And then talking to Conan, he mentioned he'd like to have something like that in Mexico if it was safe. What do you think of either of those two options? Let's start with Mexico. And what would be, like, the drawbacks, the advantages, anything that comes to mind when you think of those?
I mean, I think for both of them, there will be big advantages because those are big, you know, top places for wrestling in general. Mexico, I'm not familiar with Mexico. So I don't know, you know, the places and, you know, the dangers and stuff like that, things that may happen somewhere. You want it at a safe spot so everybody – you know, can get in and get out and be safe that weekend. So I'm not sure about Mexico, but I just know they love wrestling, and I'm sure it would be something that's going to make money. Like, Mexico's going to make money, and, of course, you know, Japan and somewhere in Japan is going to make money. I think Japan would be, like, the ultimate spot for them. because I'm pretty sure people here would go all the way to Japan for something like that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if they were smart, New Japan would jump on that and set it up as something they would do, kind of like how WWE does Access or StarCast does theirs. If you do it around the January 1st show, or this year, you know, the New Japan show is going to be a two-day event, you could have that little convention where you bring in, like, legends from Japan, legends from the United States, around the world, and you're enticing people not only to come, but also to partake in that as well. I think yeah. Mexico stuff, like Conan said, there's so many issues when it comes to crime, border control, things of that nature. The animosity between our current presidential administration and Mexico, and how that can lead to just unnecessary stress. I mean, that would be my only downside to it, because in Vegas, you know, you had folks who were wilding out, but you're in the United States. If you wild out in Mexico, if you bring weed to Japan, you're done.
Yeah.
Now, what do you? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying. Yeah, you're right. You know, so it's just each country has so many different things as far as, you know, what you can do, what you can't do, and you have different people coming in and out. You know, it's like you say, it's tricky.
Yeah, and for me too, looking at these, and I want to kind of get your mindset on this. I look at these, and, you know, in the South, a lot of it is the WrestleCade. Then you had StarCast. You have Access. You kind of have this crew of the favorites. Like, you have your Rock and Roll Expresses. You have your Jim Cornettes. You have your Ric Flairs. And then you have, you know, those off-the-beaten-path folks like Glacier and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you want to see? Like, if this is Jeff versus the World presents the ultimate mega cast, and you're going to have a wrestling convention, who would be the people you would want to see at that event, and why?
Oh, wow. You put me on the spot, Rich. I was super jealous that you got to meet Kenta Kobashi, because he's my favorite Japanese wrestler. And it may sound boring, you know, but these are like some of my favorite wrestlers. Barry Windham. Let's see. Rest in peace. But, you know, a Macho Man, if he was alive, somebody like that. Man, just so many people. You know, I'm pretty well. I don't know. You know, I would want to meet Omega, you know. Give you one more. Let's see. Does it matter what company? Like, I can say WWE. Is that fine? Or I guess,
oh, yeah,
you know, I don't know. I would say HBK. I would say HBK, you know, people that I gravitate towards as far as wrestling and stuff like that. Yeah, Eddie Guerrero's, if he was alive, I would want to meet him. You know, guys like that. I think that would be my ultimate thing. Yeah, just a lot of the people, you know, that I like are just gone right there, you know. So it's kind of hard. But, like, definitely a Kenny Omega, a HBK, a Barry Windham, a Rey Mysterio. Those are probably, like, the wrestlers that I would go with. I'm trying to think of a tag team right now. But, you know, if I could meet Harlem Heat.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
Steiner Brothers, you know. You go down a whole list. I'll be here all day.
I was thinking of – the reason I thought about that is because the way they set StarCast up, you had people who were like the main eventers, like folks everybody want to see. They had – you know, obviously they tried to get The Undertaker, and that fell through. You also had some people that were just like, hey, this is really cool. Like, I really love – like Arn, first time you get an interview with that man, and he is just letting it fly. Dustin Rhodes, going to town, outstanding interview, especially after having that – 5-star match with his brother the night before. But then, one of my favorites was the David Arquette watch party for Ready to Rumble, where you had him, Tony Schiavone, and, you know, the Hurricane, who was, I didn't know that at the time, he was the stunt double for David Arquette during the movie.
Oh,
those
wow.
guys all talking about, yeah, like, how wild is that?
Yeah. And, you know, I purchased the, you know, the package for StarCast. I still ain't watched everything, and that's one of the things I haven't watched yet.
Yeah, I'd recommend it. I mean, the comedian that was doing the jokes, like I mentioned when I did my diary, he had left a lot to be desired. But in terms of, like, the actual content, I thought it was great. I thought it was really good. So thinking about that, I was like, okay, so if you're going to do a movie or you're going to do people that are also in entertainment, one of the first things I thought of was having a panel with all the Marines. So you got Cena, you got The Miz, you got, I want to say, DiBiase was one.
Yeah,
and then talk about, like, and then Becky Lynch, because she was the bad guy in the last one. Spoiler alert, I'm sorry, if you didn't watch, if anyone didn't watch the Marine and you're listening to the deep dive, you know we covered it, and we covered the loss of Mike Mizanin to the Marine franchise at the hands of Becky Lynch, and then handing it off to Shawn Michaels, of all people, to be the next Marine.
which I
figured that'd be right up your alley. Yeah, so
I just
right
don't know how I feel about it, because I said, how was it supposed to go? Because I didn't expect that ending, but anyway.
I didn't either. Like, I thought it was going to be something that was like, okay, homeboy going to pull this out. I've seen this man take on, like, 11 billion people in these movies. You're not going to have my girl Becky Lynch take him out with a little knife across the room. But sure enough,
yeah.
I mean, technically, I mean,
yeah,
she hit it, but Becky already, she lit the match. She lit the match,
yeah,
and then the dynamite went off like Mission Impossible style on my man's.
I really, oh, wow. I feel like you got to be thinking about it, because I watched and I was like, so you telling me HBK is keeping this going and this is happening right now? And I was like, okay, I'm down for the ride if it happens.
I mean, they're fighting on the boat. I hope she lived, because that's the type of thing I would like to see. Have all those guys on a panel and just talking about how they liked it, what they didn't like, how much fun they had, you know, do they like doing movies? And with WWE, it's tough. Because at least with Ready to Rumble, they could kind of bag on it a little bit. I feel like if it was WWE that worked with you on this, our fictitious Jeff versus the World con, at least for now. Maybe, you know, I might speak it into existence. It might come down the road.
Let's hope.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have that. Or, you know, if they couldn't, because obviously WWE wouldn't want them to, like, bag on WWE films because, you know, obviously they're all Oscar-nominated and all that good stuff. I would still want to have, like, maybe a Mickey Rourke, if he wasn't going to ask too much, to talk about the wrestler and kind of his feud, mini feud with Jericho. And, heck, I'd like to have Jericho actually show up.
Well, you know, he may say he's going to show up, but then – he may go heel on us.
Right. And, that's
and not show
problem.
Up.
Yeah, I don't want homeboy going heel and, like, doing all that, because to me, I mean, there's so many possibilities, and that's why I really like this topic, because it's, like, so out there. There's so many different ways, especially having seen StarCast now, where you could be creative with this. Or, you know, you could have a panel where you're talking to women of wrestling throughout history, like having someone from GLOW, having someone from POW and women of wrestling now, and a TNA Knockout, a Diva, one of the Nitro. Like, we haven't heard from Whisper. I think that was Shawn Michaels' wife's name when she was a Nitro girl, right?
I believe so.
I'm going way in the back. She would be a person I'd like to hear from. Like, you're out of the scene, but you're married to one of the biggest wrestling stars. This is going to be like the Shawn Michaels appreciation convention, it seems like, at this point.
Has Gabe Spokowski ever did any of those StarCast anything?
In the past, I think he's been there. But, again, because now he's working with NXT, he'd be probably a squirrely one as far as trying to tie him down and get some answers, because
I would just love to talk to him about, like, when he had, like, Brian, everybody in Ring of Honor, when he, like, was there, and just, like, I would have so many questions for him. Just like, yo, how was it then when Joe was on his run? Because he was right there in the thick of things as these dudes are coming up, growing into what we see now.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I also wanted to have someone like keep luminaries, like if I could get WWE to let Chris Hero and well, I guess I shouldn't go by both. I guess KO, Cassius Ohno, and Cesaro, and probably Wurtz, since he was there too, talk about the CZW Ring of Honor feud.
Mm.
And how crazy that would be. That would be a great conversation.
Yeah.
And Homicide. I mean, having all these guys talk about it and all the twists and turns it took, I think that would be ridiculously fun.
Yeah. Because I remember as it was happening, I was kind of like, wow, this is crazy. Why hasn't anybody, like, went to this extent with it like they went for it? Like, hopping on each other's shows with the cage, the death cage matches and stuff. I was like, okay. I think that's what really had these, you know, they got me with that. Because I was like, wow, this is, like, great. Because you really just had two independent companies say, you know what, let's just go out there and work together and, you know, let's see what happens.
Yeah, that was really cool. And it was something that made you on the edge of your seat as far as like, yeah, they're both based out of Philly. Yeah, they're both using the ECW arena. And sometimes they'd set up where shows were right after each other. You got to the point where half one side of the ring was like all CZW fans and when the other half was Ring of Honor. So like if dudes are brawling in the crowd, you would hear and see the cheers change as you move through the crowd, which that's something I've never seen since.
Yeah, because I think I remember, I think it was Chris Hero came, I'm not sure, he attacked somebody, and I want to say it was Daniel Bryan,
Bryan Danielson. Probably.
I'm not sure, and I just remember how you could see the CZW fans going crazy, and you could see the Ring of Honor people being upset, like legit upset, like, wait a minute, and it was just, you know, it was cool to see, because even though everybody, you know, everybody was smart, they still got them. You know, they just had them in their hands.
Right, and that's just, I mean, that's great work as far as storytelling and just being awesome. Now, you're hearing Jeff and I talk, and we obviously want to talk to you, so give us a call. 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. We do have a call right now, sir, Jeff, so if you're ready, I'm ready.
Let's go.
All right. All right. Welcome to the Deep Dive. State your name, where you're calling from, and how can we chat with you?
Hey, Rick and Jeff. This is Brian calling from Phoenix.
Hey,
Brian. Right. How's it going?
Great. Hopefully you both have a real good weekend, and everybody else listening have a good weekend as well.
Same to you, sir.
You too, too.
Appreciate it, gentlemen. So right when you were just talking, you're talking about, you know, wanting to interview Shawn Michaels' wife, the former Whisper Nitro girl. Remember that another thing that would be interesting to talk to her about is about, remember she got physical in that feud between Michaels and Jericho. And
yes,
how
bunch.
Was, you know, how So how did that come about? So that would be interesting, you know, maybe talk to, if you're talking to them together, or maybe, you know, if they're talking to them and then ask her a couple questions about that would be interesting too.
Oh yeah, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, that was the thing that kind of made that feud. I mean, Jericho cites that all the time, how he accidentally hit her, and it was like legit punch in the face, and how that could have gone completely wrong, because it's like, look, bro, you just punched my wife in the face, and
yeah,
everybody kind of just, it took it up to a whole different level.
Yeah, you know, and that's the reason why, and I'm not a New Japan guy, you start talking the conversation about that, but the reason why I say that is that I don't ever see WWE having a full up woman versus man match like they had back in the Attitude Era, but or even they could have a mixed tag match. They could have. I mean, they've been having them for like the last, you know, what, however many years. But you know, if you remember back, TNA pretty much did the same angle with Bobby Roode, and Booker T and Charmel, where Robert Roode hit Charmel.
Whoa, I did not know that.
Yeah, for some reason, I feel like I should know that, but this is news to me.
I'll look it up while we are. I'll look it up either while we're talking and while you're still on the air and I get off the phone. But I'm gonna I have a wrestling question, but before I get to the wrestling question, I'm gonna digress a little bit. I don't want to take too much away from the wrestling fans here, but since I have both you two intelligent gentlemen on the phone, let's talk about the elephant in the room, Dark Phoenix, briefly, please.
Okay.
No.
So I'm gonna throw a disclaimer out for anyone listening,
yes,
because I don't want like the other seven people that might want to watch this movie. We're gonna spend the next 5 minutes or so talking about Dark Phoenix. So I'm gonna try to be as non-spoily as possible, but the emotions run high. So I apologize in advance. Mm-hmm. You go right ahead, sir. Like you speak. It was a struggle for me yesterday going to that movie. It was. I haven't walked out of a movie since I started going to movies in high school, and I almost walked out of that one.
So similarly as well, I mean, if you want to keep the superhero theme going, Catwoman really, of course, the Halle Berry Catwoman movie pressed my sitting there listening, watching this stuff for however many minutes of work it was. And I agree with you, Jeff and Rich. I'm going to keep it, we'll keep it spoiler free or not talk about anything like that. I would just say that I was a huge X-Men fan growing up as a, I'm 52 years old now. So, and I remember when the new X-Men came out. And that would have been, 75? So I remember being a teenager, or not even a teenager, being, 10 years old when it came out. Actually, not even 10 years old when it came out. So I do remember, and I remember the original X-Men, of course, as well. So I read all the Dark Phoenix stuff in real time as the books came out. And I was a huge X-Men collector back when I was a kid as well. So I will say that, overall speaking, I was disappointed, but I'm not like feverishly tearing up anything in my house saying how horrible the movie was. That's my my take on it.
Jeff, what about you, my man?
I think I said what I needed to say on Twitter, but just to be clear, I think a lot of the actors phoned it in. Because they knew it was over, and
that's being generous, phoning it in. By the way, Jeff, you're being very nice.
Yeah,
I
am being nice because I understand. Certain people like this movie. Oh, there's some people out there that actually like this movie, which is shocking. But I'm just gonna say, I'm glad that it's over. I can tell some of the actors were just over it. If I could just stress to anybody, just wait for it to come out on DVD. Netflix, whatever, you're not missing anything. And that's all I got to say about it.
Yeah, it was a struggle for me because I wanted it to be, just be passable. Because I after seeing these movies, I had no expectations this would be a good movie. And then they underwhelmed me with that. Like, I tried to put up my spoilers without context tweet. And, I really was shocked at how blatant, the final third act kind of was similar to other movies that have come out recently. And I was like, wow, you even going to just, people just, okay, oh, wow. Hmm. All right. And
what,
so.
Let me ask you.
No, go ahead.
Quick question. No, sorry, quick question. How, okay, can you tell the Dark Phoenix in one movie? I don't think you can. And I think that's just been a generous, that's what everybody's been saying. You can't tell this story in just one movie and throw it out there with characters we haven't grown with. We have no connection to. I've been going to the movies forever now. And this is the first time I just felt blank. I didn't feel anything watching that movie. And it was just, you just can't do that. The Dark Phoenix is something that has to be built. We built up to Tony Stark. Tony Stark's arc is pretty much, we saw him in Iron Man, and you got to Avengers Endgame, and you saw what happened. It's an arc with everything. There was no arc with this. It was just something they said, you know what, let's do it. Let's do it again, because we got it wrong the first time. Let's try it again, and it's still messed up. Oh. I know I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but yeah, now I'm done. I'm done now.
It's okay. We're gonna do a little bit. Like I said, we still got another couple minutes where we can just get it out. All right, I just put in my notes, warning for folks. I am just flabbergasted that they picked a race of folks that were oppressed. The Dabari, that's easy. You know, again, spoilers ahoy. We're not going to go super spoiler, but I'm going to give it. The Dabari were a race that were destroyed by the Phoenix Force in the comic books, like Brian mentioned. He read them as they were happening. Like, 5 billion people gone because the Phoenix killed their son. They turned them into both the Hellfire Club and the Skrulls, and I that was strike one for me, where I was like, okay, I'm out of here. I was like, nope. Nope. Yeah, and then you had, you know, Jessica Chastain. When the Jurassic Park movie came out, it was one of those deals where it was, you know, they Bryce Dallas Howard had to make a song called "I'm Not Jessica Chastain" because everyone thought it was Jessica Chastain in that movie. And they turned Jessica Chastain into a parody of Bryce Howard playing Jessica Chastain. I was like, how are you going to be running on a train in high heels at full speed? It's all coming out. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
And then to your point about continuity, you say Dark Phoenix shouldn't be more than just a movie. It has to be multiple movies. How are you going to tell me and the Apocalypse movie where you killed Angel, a man who had wings and was Archangel at the time, in an airplane? You killed a man who could fly in an airplane. Okay, not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Yeah, we could go all day with this.
You had Apocalypse lose to the Phoenix Force, which you're now saying didn't exist yet.
Oh, boy. So, gentlemen,
like,
I'm going to pivot.
It's like, how did – and then your nose just starts bleeding.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep with somewhat of this subject, but I'm going to pivot, and hopefully we got some of it out of here. But I don't – with the way this is all going down with Dark Phoenix, what is your – and I want to get to a wrestling question, but what is your prediction that's going to happen with the New Mutant movie? Is that just pretty much going to – we'll see that like in the bargain bin in Walmart in like 5 years or something like that, or maybe it finally gets released on Netflix, never hits the big screen at all?
I think it might never hit the big screen.
Well, as of right now, I see that Marvel did slate it for 2020. I don't know if they think they can salvage anything from it. I don't know if they think they can add something to it. I'm not even sure, because I did see it slated for 2020 now. And this is under the Marvel MCU brand. So we'll see. I just think you can just put it on Hulu. Just put it on Hulu and call it a day. Because I heard that... it's either as bad or worse than Dark Phoenix. So what do you
do? And how you going to have, again, this is wild to me because it ties into Game of Thrones. How you going to have Maisie Turner, like Becky Lynch style, crapping all over that movie? She's like, I don't know when the movie's coming out. I've done like so many reshoots. I was like, this woman is going to be married with kids by the time this movie comes out, and it's just going to be like, yeah, I remember that, and then just roast it.
So let's talk wrestling before we all have brain aneurysm. That would be like a triple brain aneurysm on a podcast, and you know, you have to find our bodies in all separate places, something like that. So let's talk about this part. And Jeff, I was going to ask you this, and I want to keep. I'm going to get off the phone after I ask this question because I want some other people to get on. Is that what's both of your? And I know Rich, of course, we talked a lot. We talk a lot, Rich, but more so, but for Jeff as well, though, is that what's your definition of, or how you think heel heat has been going in the last, you know, several years? I'm going to see again. I'm not a New Japan guy, but I'm going to see how AEW handles this. But I mentioned this on a different show that about. And I didn't watch Super Showdown yet, and we don't have to talk about opinions about that. But I did like the run-up to Super Showdown where all the heels got heat on their way to that program. If it wasn't Baron Corbin or Shane McMahon or Dolph Ziggler, everybody was getting heel. All the heels were getting heel heat. So I guess I want to get your opinions get your opinions on heel heat. And then is it lacking on the big picture for WWE? Again, I thought they did a really good job for Super Showdown. But then what do you feel about it with AEW? And I'll leave you with that question, and I will just listen, and I hope you both, Jeff, it's always good talking. Jeff, it's good talking to you, and Rich, of course, always good talking to you, and I hope you both, everybody has a real good weekend. Thanks a lot, as always.
All right, you too, Ron.
Thank you. All right, so what do you think, Jeff?
Okay, can you say the question again, because it was kind of breaking up on my end.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Talking about AEW.
Brian, could you ask the question one more time about Heat, because it was breaking up a little on Jeff's end.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Jeff. My question is, what do you think about heel Heat? About, I thought WWE did a really good job with heel Heat up to leading up to Super Showdown. But what's been your opinion about companies or maybe even wrestlers getting more heel Heat lately, and including AEW? That was my question.
Okay. Let's see. You know, I can't really speak for the build-up of Super Show, just because I was really not paying attention. I was paying attention. I was in and out with WWE. But what I do like as far as WWE, I think a guy like Samoa Joe, he's getting the heat that I particularly care for. That I'm a badass, and I'm going to beat you up. There's no question about it. I'm going to come out of there and do as I say. I'm still not sure about people like a person like Baron Corbin's heat, because it's this one side of people that may they just don't like him at all. So it's just like whatever. But he is actually getting that heel heat, which, you know, so it's hard with a guy like him. And for right now, for AEW, I just, it's the cool thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard for people to, well, they don't have any TV yet. Let's just say that. They don't have any TV, and we're going to have to work our way right there. So everybody's cool right now. Everybody's having an awesome match right now. Once we get the TV going, we can kind of start to see who's going to be on this side and who's going to be on that side. But I think I may be wrong, correct me, Rich. Does Cody want the heel face dynamic?
He says it's like the world of the gray. He has talked about that way. But then he clearly played the heel to make sure his brother kind of had the shine during their match. But then also he has a guy like MJF who is clearly a heel. There is nothing at all cool about MJF.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the one. He was the one where you knew this is the guy that's going to be the Miz on their show.
Yeah, and he is just so over the top, ridiculously. Like, there was one dude, I remember I was reading on Twitter, when he first started wrestling, he told a guy at the merch desk, tell your friend to come buy a shirt, we have them in 5X.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow. Like,
wow.
You're coming at his throat and his wallet at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like,
he's really good. He's really good at what he does.
Yeah, I was like, bless you, sir. Bless you. You're like a monster.
And also, too, with WWE heels, I just feel sometimes, I don't know, it's like maybe they are on right now with heels, but sometimes they can just be off. Like, I don't know. Like, okay, let's look at the McMahons and them. You know, they never get any retribution for what they do. You know, they can do whatever.
Yeah.
Stephanie can come out there and say whatever. Vince can come and say whatever. Pretty much Triple H kind of, sort of. You know, he's in that gray area because he's Papa H. But, you know, then those heels, nothing are happening to them after the fact. It's just whatever. Like Shane. I guess it's okay what he's doing right now with Roman Reigns, but at the end it should be, I have no people going to hate to hear this, but it should be Roman Reigns beating him up, and you moved on to the next one. I don't know. I just the heels that I like and that I grew up watching, or the ones that I gravitate towards, I just don't, you know, it's a guy like Joe. A guy like Samoa Joe is right there what I like. And like you say, MJF is, I think he's going to be what The Miz was, but turned up a little bit more, because I think he's going to have that freedom to do what he do.
Yeah. And he is a monster. Like, that's all I come back to. Like, I see so much, and it's just wild. I'm hoping that it's the issue is, like, you got to want to do it right. It's really easy to kind of add that quote. Like, MJF has, I'm better than you. Which is kind of like, I'm The Miz and I'm awesome. But he doesn't do it in a way where he's waiting for a sing song or anything like that.
Yeah. I think that...
Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
I think that... I think that... I don't know. I want to say... See, I was going to use NXT for an example, but it's like almost...
Yeah.
Well, everybody's cool there, too. You know what I mean? Mm. The only is Shayna. Shayna Baszler is a badass. She is a, you know, she, hey, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to do what I say, and you guys aren't going to like it, but so what? I do what I say, and I like that. Shayna's really good, and I can't wait for her. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. She's really good, and I hope she can stay on NXT as long as possible. For me, just, you know, enjoying her work. But for her bank account, yeah, I hope she do make it up to the main roster eventually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to see her make that money. I think, yeah, she would be great there. I'm thinking, I know going through that Brian isn't a big New Japan fan, but I'm looking at, like, Dominion. I said, well, I was waiting for you. I'd mention some. Jericho's a good heel in New Japan. He's a psychopath that you get behind as, like, I want to boo this guy, not like he's cool. Taichi is basically a upgraded version of Elias, where he is just this performance artist you want to punch in the face, who can kind of wrestle every now and again. I mean, Taichi's biggest thing is the pants rip. Once the pants come off, it's a party, I guess, or something. But I'm trying to think of who's a good, solid, evil. I mean, part of it's his personality, but Callahan, Sammy Callahan. He's another one that doesn't lean into being cool. He is disgusting. I mean, he also veers into that line where, you know, I'm not a big. I remember reading, or not reading, I remember listening to him talk to Colt Cabana on The Art of Wrestling about how he. And this also ties into, like, conventions, too, where I won't necessarily interview or, like, go near him, because he told a story about how a fan was, like, yelling at him once. And he timed it so that as the fan was yelling, he spit into the dude's mouth.
Oh, wow.
And I put the I talked about X-Men with the movie. I turned the podcast off. I was like, nope, I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out real quick.
Yeah.
Somebody else who's really good, and I think you just had on the show. I didn't get to listen to, but Selena Della Renta from MLW, she's really good. Like, I mean, I know she's not a worker, but as far as a manager and somebody that you can just, like, be like, yo, man, I don't like her. She's so good. And she's so young, she's only going to get better.
Yeah, I wasn't going to mention Selena, mainly because, as you know, D. Palm always says I ring the bell way too much, and I'm still recovering from several shanks I received from people who claim they weren't affiliated with her for mispronouncing Promociones Dorado.
Ooh.
I was like, I told her, I was like, Spanish wasn't my language. I'm sorry, ma'am. She's like, well, we'll let it go this time. I thought it was cool. And then all of a sudden, I'm in a parking lot, getting some groceries, and I'm getting shanked like it's the Shawshank, man.
Yeah, and she's really good. I really enjoy her work.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be cool. She doesn't want to look for cheers. She is just a complete heel. And she's a good manager with it. She's not trying to get the heat by, like, jumping on your back or, like, showing a little leg or anything like that. She is a person that knows she's in good shape. She's beautiful, but she's wearing the outfit as a professional, not as, like, a sex pot. She's not, like, Pretty Mean Sisters.
Yeah. And that's the first thing I noticed, because I just recently started watching MLW maybe like a couple of months ago, maybe 2 months, 2 or 3 months ago, like religiously just watching it on YouTube. And I'm just like, this show is really good. And she's like, she's the highlight. Every time she on it, it just pops. And she just has an aura about her that you know, like the confidence and everything. I'm just like, if she gets to the big time, man, she's going to be major. I can see her being like the woman. Maybe that just might be putting too much on it, but I could see her being like a woman, Paul Heyman talk. The way Paul Heyman talks, she can go out there and do the same thing. And maybe eventually better. I say maybe eventually. I'm not saying she will.
No, I think you're right. I think it's something where should have gotten that shot and will get that shot. But it wasn't something like it was like you have this time and you have this ability and you are so young and you have the world at your oyster. Like, as long as she stays healthy, she was working through a knee injury, had just gotten surgery, kind of working off of that when I talked with her. You have a Stokely Hathaway, who's another one that's good.
Yeah. And he can, can he use social media? Like, I'm like, yo, because his little skits about his CD are just hilarious. And then, you know, he got everybody that's working with him with it. You know, it's like a minute or two. And he's just so good at it. He's using social media for, you know, to take advantage. He's taking advantage of social media, and I love it.
Yeah, and the fact that even the other heels can't stand him makes it great. And that's why I love, like, even in a good, like a convention environment, when you have someone like that, it gives you so much more to work with, because that person's going to be in character when you meet with them, and if you're in on that, it's going to be so much better as far as an experience goes. Now I'm looking here, and I got my last thing for you in terms of, because I want to make sure if you are called in, if you want to join the conversation, 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. I want to give everyone a show note. Next week, I'm going to be heading for Father's Day to go see my aunt and her family in the Poconos. So she's having her 50th, so happy birthday, Aunt Keisha. So I'm going to be doing
happy
a pre-tape. Yeah, I'm going to be going with the old superstars, where I'll have it pre-taped during the week, and I'll try to release and have it set to release at the same bat time, same bat channel. But we're still talking with you, Jeff, so I want to close out strong. One of the last things I wanted to talk about with you is, in terms of the world of wrestling and entertainment, we both didn't watch the showdown, but I'm sure you saw on Twitter and other, you know, like media, the videos of the craziness going on with Goldberg and Undertaker. And that kind of ties into my original point when it came to the conventions. Isn't it time for those guys to just purely be the legends that show up? You get a photo with, you get a nice, like, you pay for a video or something, and that's it, as opposed to having them risk each other's health and well-being in a wrestling match?
Well, I will say this, and this is just me, and this is my opinion, what I think. I think that they feel... Now, I don't know how much money, you know, I don't know how much money they got. You know, I'm not even going to try to speculate or guess. But what I will say, I think they felt like, you know, I'd rather go in there and work, what was it, 8, 7 minutes, 10 minutes? I'm not sure how long they worked. I'd rather do this for 10 minutes than to stand here or sit here for 3 hours having to sign autographs, fake smile, and take pictures. I feel like they feel like the, you know, that was the quick, easy money, and... why not? You know, let's take it. I mean, look at HBK. He did it too. It's like it's easy money, and it had to be a lot of money to get HBK out, because, you know, for reasons. I just felt, you know, the fast money was what they wanted, you know, and it was a lot of fast, you know, it was a lot of dollars for them to do what they're doing. I don't think if it's anything that I hope that Undertaker understands, you know what? This ain't even worth it. You know, just, you know, let me just go be healthy. Let me just go live my life and let me do some of these. Because I'm sure he can get a good amount of money, you know, doing the StarCast and stuff like that and just being out there like that maybe once or twice a year. And I'm sure as well for Goldberg, too. But, you know, I'm not in another man's pocket. I don't know what type of bills or what type of lifestyle they live. So you never know. But I wish they would just be. Yeah, with Goldberg, you were the man in WCW. Undertaker, you are the Phenom. And Shawn Michaels, you were Mr. WrestleMania. And, you know, just leave it like that. But every year, I guess, you know, to work once a year and do that, and they can, they feel like they can still do it. I guess, you know. I just, you know, I'm sorry to say, I just have a, I have a bad taste about that Super Show thing. So it's just anybody working.
No, I'm with you on it. That's why I feel like that was like the icing on the cake, because, like you said, that check meant more than their health. That check meant more than them, like, doing it right. That check meant more than putting a younger guy in a position to kind of make them look like $1 million.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but, you know, they promoted it as bigger than WrestleMania. So I guess, you know, well, we got to have these stars on here, but we saw these stars 10 years ago or 15 years ago in their somewhat primes, and now we're looking at them as, but you know, it's not for, it's a whole, I don't think that show was for the fans. I think that's for the government over there and whatever they're doing over there. They wanted to put on a show, and that's what they got, because you're not going to tell me a fan said, hey, I want to go, I want to see Undertaker now versus Goldberg now. No, that was for, you know. Oh, Rich, you got me getting upset about this.
I'm sorry. See, it was a trap because, you know, my boy Brian got us on the X-Men tip, and then I had to get you with the Super Snow Blood Money 3.
It's a thing where I wish people, and this not to, you know, detract from what you're saying, I wish people wouldn't just watch and be like, well, I'm watching it, I don't care. At least know what's going on over there and somewhat, if you feel like, you know, I still want to watch, okay, no, not then, but just not, just don't be blind and say, oh, I don't care and I just love wrestling and stuff, because it's a lot of propaganda and stuff that WWE has to do. They're in a 10-year contract, but what they're showing you, it's not really like it is what they're showing you. It's a lot different. There's a lot of things going on over there. But WWE has to show you certain things to make it seem like, well, hey, it's okay, or say certain things. And I just feel like I respect people, your Daniel Bryan's and, you know, for whatever reason, Kevin Owens, and, you know, for them saying, no, I don't want to go. I'm not going over there. But I understand also, too, you know, people got bills to pay. And some people, this is my job, and I don't want to rock the boat. Because they're in a – you know, Daniel Bryan – Daniel Bryan, I can't get his name and stuff. But he's in a different position than everybody else because he's a main eventer. He's a star. So if a mid-carder say that, it may be a little different. Things might happen to him. They may say, no, nothing's going to happen. But we know how that go. You know, Finn Balor can say, I don't want to go. I say, okay, Finn, you don't have to go in a month from there. He's running around chasing the 24/7 title. I mean, that's just, well, think, you know, that's possibility.
Think about it this way, Jeff. You have Kevin Owens, right? He said, I'm not going. So You have Dolph Ziggler fight for the WWE title. We get back to the States, very first pay-per-view after it. Guess who's fighting Kofi again? It's Dolph.
Please don't. Oh, wow.
They announced that during the show.
Oh, wow. Okay. I guess.
So that's your message to your point. Like, oh, Kevin, yeah, you could stay. But you're going to be back at the line, buddy.
Yeah. You know. No, you know, and it's just everybody. So all my people who love wrestling, let's just look and see what's going on over there. Look it up. Get on your computers and just say, hey, let me see what's going on in this place and that place where they ran the shows. And just look for yourself. It doesn't hurt. And nobody says you had to stop watching it. But, you know, I just took a lot of slack. Or actually, I'm sorry. I got kicked out of a Facebook wrestling group because I didn't watch
it. Uh-oh.
How does that happen? Now, I wasn't really active in it, but it was just like I was somebody, you know, tagged me, so are you going to watch? Because we're going to do some type of, they were like, yes, something. I said, no, I don't watch that. I never watch it. Oh, you know, why are you not watching? You on some, you know, you're high and mighty, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, I never watch it. I never will watch it. Yeah, it was one of those, like, it's one of those wrestling groups that you get in and don't really realize the people that's in it until you really start looking. So it was fine. It's great. So I am in no longer, I don't think I'm in no more wrestling groups. So it's fine. It's fine. It's not a big deal. It's no sweat. But it's just, I just feel sometimes people want to watch and not know. They want to be dumb. Don't, you know, you can, it's always easy to go and find out stuff about what's going on and what's really going on. And I just feel I have a mother, I have a sister, a daughter. So things like that mean something to me, especially what's happening and what's happening to how they treat women over there. So, you know, but to each his own who do watch it. I'm not knocking it. I'm just personally not going to watch it when they're over there.
I got you. Oh, God, I'm watching in the background. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Descent. It is.
Yeah.
Right when you said that, it was like the crescendo of the ending sequence at the top of the hill where she, like, reveals that she knew homegirl left the other friend. And if you're getting this Descent spoiled, I'm sorry. At this point, it is. Let me hit the info button. We're looking at a smooth 14 years.
Yeah, it was, yeah. You'd be okay.
I saw that in the theater.
Spoiler alert.
So that goes back to our point about, like, our point about, like, I can't tell you. I honestly probably can't count how many movies I've seen, because especially when I was traveling, I would watch, you know, I'd watch, like, a movie or two a weekend, and then with football, same thing, kind of clear my head. So I've seen probably, like, one movie a weekend, 52 weekends for the better part of 20 years. And it's like, this was the movie. Like, I've seen some bad movies. I watched both Ghost Riders in the theater. I have seen countless crazy art for art's sake movies where I was like, I don't even understand who was in the movie. And I could tough it out. That took me out. But, you know, before we end on negativity, I'm going to end on some positivity. What do you have coming next with Jeff versus the World? And you mentioned the fast look with Shahid. What are your thoughts on John Cena joining the family? Or familia. Sorry, Vin.
Listen, I got to say one thing. To anybody, I saw this question on my timeline maybe a couple of days ago. They were like, why are they still making these movies? Do you realize how much money these movies make? And I feel like that John Cena has found a sweet spot right now in his movie career. You know, coming off Bumblebee, I think he's right there where he can be that comedian, but he can be that action star too. And I think this is the perfect movie for him to be in. Now, it, you know, it has to be a lot of writing and, you know, a lot of good stuff for him to be able to, you know, go off of. But I think around that cast, I think he should knock it out of the park with ease. Yeah, and as far as Jeff versus the World goes, like I said, Tuesday, me and Shahid will be doing Too Fast, Too Furious. This will be the second installment. And Sunday, which is tomorrow, I will be coming out with another More You Know with my interview with Aries Knight. He is an up-and-coming hip-hop artist from Pittsburgh. So, okay. Yeah, and if you need to contact me, it's Jeff versus the World on Twitter, and I have a Jeff versus the World Facebook page. I need to be more active. I keep saying that even on my shows. I need to be more active on my Facebook page. And you can also get any questions, comments, Jeff versus the World at yahoo.com. And one last thing, Rich, I was asked to review a great wrestling comic book. And I want to make sure I get everything right, because I think anybody who I interact with, all my friends, I think you guys will enjoy this.
Okay.
I want to make sure I have everything, because I do not. Hold on. Bear with me. Here we go. Oh, no. Don't do this to me now. Oh, we got dead air. That's not good.
It's okay.
I can't get the information out. Hold on. Let me see. It's really going to do this now at the end of the show. Well, that sucks.
Hey, all you got to do, if we still got time, it's messing around on you.
I found it, yes. So the guys from Suspicious Behavior Productions have sent me two copies of Invasion from Planet WrestleTopia. So the premise is a guy who's about to win the world title in his promotion. The owner or the booker or whatever you want to call him comes up to him and says, "Nah, you're not going to win tonight. Somebody else is going to win." And he gets tired of it. He gets sick of it. And he knows what this guy decides to do is to make himself his own champion. But he makes himself the galactic champion of the universe. So he goes on. He leaves the promotion. He's just like running the indie scene and wrestling, you know, just doing whatever, being almost Brian Pillman, like a madman, just doing crazy stuff, getting kicked out of different promotions. As this is all going on, that promo that he cut saying he was the galactic champion with the belt goes out to space. And I believe the guy, I don't want to mess it up, but I think it's Manifesto Destiny. Some type of person hears it at Planet WrestleTopia, and now he's looking for him to have the match of all matches to see who's going to be the galactic champion. It's insane, but if you're a wrestling fan, some of the things as far as booking and promoters and on the road and indie scenes, it's really cool, and I really enjoyed it. I got to review it. They are sending me another I think the next book comes out this week coming, and they're sending me another one so I can review it. It's a really awesome book. So if you guys want to check it out, it's called Invasion from Planet WrestleTopia.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that, Jeff, and I appreciate you. Always welcome to come back, my friend.
Yes, I got to get you back on, too. I got the perfect idea for you to be on, but it's going to be a group. So, to be announced.
Okay. I'm down with it, man. Well, you have a wonderful rest of the weekend, and thanks for coming on.
You too.
All right, y'all, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening. As always, you can find me on Twitter at @rich_fan. If you would like to ask a question and you don't feel like doing it on the phone, you can always email us, twtdive@gmail.com. Till next week, this is Rich Fan saying dive into something new. Push beyond where you think your boundaries are. Go plus ultra. I love you. Do better next week.